Why is it in life that it seems like when there's interruptions, it's always when things seem to be going good, and all of a sudden, something just kind of pops up? You know, I believe there's times in life when God's going to say, please stand by. He's going to say this word, wait. Has God ever told you to wait? Has he? Has he ever told you to wait? And you say, God, I want to go this direction. I want to do this. I want to buy that. I want this to happen. And what do you say? And he says nothing. This morning, what I want to do is start the series. And what I'm going to start with is the title I gave it was Lacking Direction. Because you can be here this morning and you can be on it. That's a whole gamma of levels there. It could be anywhere from I don't have Jesus in my heart and I'm lacking direction in my life and need Jesus, to I'm making a change in my job and I'm trying to figure out what direction to go, to I'm moving to a different town or to a different house, or it could be the seasons are changing in your home and in your life. Whatever that means, where you need direction and you seem to lack it, the question is always going to be, what do you do when you sense that lack of direction? And the answer is always going to be, obviously, to bring it back to God. But how do we do that? How do we make that practical and doable? What I want to challenge you on is this. If you're here today and you're identifying with an area in your life where you're lacking direction, maybe you want your spiritual life to grow more. You know, you probably had that thought. I think we all should be. Don't feel bad for having that thought. Feel good for having that thought. You should always want to be growing in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not where I need to be. I know I need to, but I'm lacking some direction on how to get there. Maybe it's, I'm lacking direction on my relationship with my husband or wife. How can we, you know, just develop that a little bit more? When you're lacking that direction, we need to know what God has to say about it. The Bible tells us this. Those that wait upon the Lord do what? Do you remember? They renew their strength. So it leads me to believe this, that if we are to wait for the right person for the right time, we will renew our strength, then the opposite must be true. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but this is just the brain of Jim right now. That means if I wait upon the Lord, I renew my strength. Then when I don't wait upon the Lord, I shouldn't be surprised when I'm anxious, nervous, depleted of energy, exhausted, worn out, because I'm not listening or seeking him. I'm seeking myself or somebody else's answer. Now, the Bible doesn't say that it will deplete you, but you all know what it's like when God speaks and you go the other way. We just had a young lady up here telling us that, right? God says, go. You guys have heard my testimony. The Lord called me at 14. It took him till I was 23 years old before I finally said yes. I was stubborn. I thought I had another way. There was a season where God was just, I said, God, what do you want to do? And he said, wait. And we don't like that. But the reality is I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have direction in my life. And the Bible has something to say. If you're here today and you're lacking direction, I want you to just open up your heart to just kind of just say, Lord, tell me what I need to know. Give me an ear to hear you. If you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then you can have that today when you leave. God doesn't want to change you into being some weird kumbaya kind of person. He wants you to be you. He just wants to be a part of it. He wants to have relationship with you. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what? Life's going great. I don't feel like I'm in a waiting season or standing by or lacking direction. Then I'm going to ask you to just listen and deposit this in your heart, because there's a time coming when you will feel like things are out of control, or you'll feel like you're lacking direction, and you will need to know what God says. The message I bring to you today is not just a message that necessarily I've walked through. I'm going to be honest with you right now. It's what I'm walking through right now. Have you ever prayed these prayers where you said, God, I know something, you're just stirring, there's something going on. Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? What do you have to say? And he goes, you want to know what God said to me when I asked him? He said, nothing at all. And I was frustrated. Jesus, I know there's something you're doing. There's something stirring. There's something churning. And I don't even know what that means. I don't know what to do with it. So I got all kind of, you know, anxious and excited. Lord, what do you say? And he said, wait. And I said, wait for what? And he says, well, first of all, you don't know what it is you're waiting on. Second of all, you don't know the directions and how to get there. And thirdly, he said, it's not the right time. How many of you know that when you wait upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord is important? Amen? But waiting for the right time is just as important. God may speak to you and say, I'm going to use a silly analogy. If this is you, I know nothing, okay? But let's say the Lord spoke to you and said, that lady over there, she's going to be your wife someday. Now, whether the Lord actually spoke that or not is between you and the Lord. but I really encourage you not to go tell the lady that. Because I can almost guarantee you, you will not be married. Because you will be creepy. All right? Now, maybe there's truth to that, but you have to wait on that. You get it? Now, you can apply that in many other areas. But what is it you're waiting on? What are you waiting on? Is it a relationship? Spiritual growth? New job? New town? I don't know. But whatever you're waiting on, what do you do in those seasons when you're lacking direction? Here it says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." You're to rely upon the Lord. It was in 2010 that we took our kids to Wisconsin Dells. We took them to the Kalahari up there. And they were much younger. Obviously, we were too. And we took them up there for a trip. And we were driving back. And for some reason, we were on some back roads. I don't know why. I don't know if I was just listening to my GPS or if I thought I knew a quicker way or something. But all of a sudden, this fog set in. You ever been driving in just thick fog? You know, there's fog where it's kind of like, oh, it's kind of foggy out. But then there's fog where it's like, holy cow, I can only see like 6 feet in front of me. And it was that kind of a fog. And I was driving down the road, and I didn't know where I was because I was on these back roads, so I had to slow things way down. And here's what I did. I found a car that was traveling the same direction, and they were in front of me. So I would speed up as close as I could without tailgating too much, because I wanted to see his lights. And I would follow his taillights, and I would use him as a pace setter. And when I had him as a pace setter, I felt a little bit better because at least there was somebody in front of me that if they misstepped and went off the road, I would see it before I misstepped. Not very nice way of thinking, but you get my point, how you set a pace setter. But here's what he did. A few miles up the road, he turned left, and now all of a sudden, I was the one out there leading the pack. I was on my own. And I didn't know where I was going, and it was kind of nerve-wracking. I mean, I felt responsible for my kids and my wife, which I was, and I don't know where I'm going, and my eyes were getting strained. And then I realized in my rearview mirror, somebody was doing to me what I was doing to the guy a few minutes ago. And they were using me as the pace setter. And it ticked me off. I thought, get off my tail. You know, I kind of got frustrated and I got upset. But the reason I got upset is because I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where I was going. And I didn't know what was coming my way. For all I knew, there was a herd of deer coming from the left to the right. I wouldn't have known because I couldn't have seen over there. And it really bothered me. And I remembered back to that story. And the Lord spoke something to me at that time when I was driving. And it was good. I was getting frustrated, and God just kind of shows up. You know what I mean? And I said, God, what am I going to do? This is horrible. It's just thick out there. And God's just pretty cool. You know, he didn't get all worried or panicked or fearful. It's just like he showed up and said, hey, you know. And I just knew he was there. And I said, God, what am I going to do? And he spoke something to me that I pray the Lord will speak to you this morning, because you're going to have times in your life where you're going to feel like you're lost. Life changed without your permission. So you got some news about your family or a job or something, and you're going to have to know how to navigate those moments. And we don't know exactly at times what direction we're going, but we know that we need to keep moving forward. But when you're lost, how do you know what forward is? I mean, you know the difference between forward and reverse, but am I going in the right direction? And sometimes we can feel stuck. We feel like we're lacking direction. And God has something to say about that, because it fleshes out in a very real way. You may be here today, and again, I'm just pulling examples kind of out of the air, but you may be here today and you're a single mom this morning, and you just hope that you're doing your best. Your children are depending on you, and you want to do what's right, but it's such a struggle. Am I doing the right thing? Am I heading in the right direction? Maybe you're a father, and you're here. Let's say maybe you experienced some loss in your life. Your world has changed, and you don't know what to do about it. You're trying to do the best that you can. You want to do what's right, but just, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? You may feel like you're just lost in the fog, like I was, and you want to do the best that you can. Everything else may seem in disarray, and you start asking the questions, when I'm lacking direction, what do I do? Where do I go? What do you do when you seem to lack direction? I'm going to give you four things real quick. They're very simple, but I want you to hear my heart, and I'm going to bring it back to the Word of God. Number one is this, if you'll write this down. When you feel like you're lost and you're lacking direction, write down number one, remember. Just write down that word, remember. I'll tell you what you're going to remember. You're going to remember, or what you need to remember when you feel this way, is you have to remember how big God is in the backdrop of your whole life. When you're going through marital problems, when you're going through financial difficulties, when you're arguing, fussing, and fighting, and things are, there's struggles, they're real, and you need to address those and deal with those, but never forget God's way bigger than anything else that's going on in your life. When you're going through situations where, let's say, you're in control, or at least we all feel like we're in control of our health, don't we? How many of you know that we're really not? We're not. You know, I'm healthy, I'm doing fine, I'm moving for now. So we feel like we're in control. But what happens when we feel like we've lost some of that control and we start to feel like we lack some direction? Well, we've got to remember this. Though things may appear to change without our permission, God is always bigger than whatever it is that's going on in your life. And we've got to remind ourselves, because if we don't, we forget to go to Jesus and we end up trying to fix it ourselves, right? I mean, let's just be honest, tell the truth. A lot of times when things go wrong, God's not always our first thought. Usually we may go to mom or dad or the bank or a brother or a sister or a counselor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then we go, oh, maybe I should talk to God about this. What we need to do is prioritize and remember how big God is and make God the first one that we go to. You see, there is a God that loves you and me so much that his desire is to be a part of our lives. That means this. That means that he desires to be a part of the successes and the failures. He desires to be a part of the good and the bad. He desires to be a part of the ups and the downs. Here's the key word. He desires. He desires you. He desires relationship. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Well, thank goodness, because I'm not either. It's kind of like your children when they learn to walk. When a child's walking and they fall down, they take the first three steps, they fall down. You don't look at them and go, you're a loser, you'll never walk. You don't say that, do you? I hope not. What do? You pick them up. And you say, oh, there, it's okay, it's all right, it's going to be okay. Here, try again. And that's exactly what God does with you and me. But when we don't remember how big God is and how great his grace is, and we start lacking direction, we just sometimes shoot holes in our own boat. I'll never amount to anything. It's never going to work out. I'll never get that job. I'll never get married. And we start blowing holes in our boat, things start to sink. We've got to remember how big God is and how good God is. We must remind ourselves. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 8. I read this like five or 6 weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there, but it's the story about Jesus and his disciples. When they went out on the boat, they forgot, and Jesus had to remind them. It says in chapter 8, verse 18, that Jesus saw the great multitudes about him. He gave a command to depart and go to the other side. Then you jump down to chapter 18, verse 23, is when he's getting ready to go with them once again. He says, now he got in the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose in the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, here's what Jesus said. Here's what I want you to catch in this. Jesus didn't say, let's give it a shot. He said, let's see if maybe we can make it. Winds are okay. You know, he wasn't concerned about any of that. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, let us go. Say it with me. Let us go. There's going to be times when God will come to you and he will say, fill in your name, and he will say, let us go over to the other side. And I'll guarantee you, anytime God tells you to go somewhere, in your journey from point A to point B, there will be a storm. There always is. Why are we so shocked when storms come up? You know, it's supposed to be perfect. God said go, so this, I must have done something wrong, or I must have made him mad, or I can't figure it out. No, you got disciples who are in a boat. Jesus said, let us go. And they forgot who they had on the boat. They had the one who can speak to the waves and shut them up. They had on the boat the one who could save them when it felt like everything was falling apart. When they were lacking direction, they had the original GPS on board. He was there to give them direction in life, but he had to remind them once again who you got on board. I want to encourage you today, if you're lacking direction, you got to remind yourself, God's bigger than anything you're going through right now. And I don't know what it is, and you could sit there and say, Pastor, you know, that's really nice and you're very kind, but you don't understand. No, I don't understand maybe what you're going through. And it may be, it may feel like a living hell that you're going through, but God's bigger than death, hell, and the grave. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is bigger than that. We must remind ourselves of that, or we will not be able to gain the direction that the Lord has for us. Number two, write this down. Number one was remember. When you're lacking direction, remember. But number two, write down, watch the side rails. Watch the side rails. I'll explain what I mean by that. Y'all know side rails when you're going around a curve. I've been in Florida the last week. You all have been to Davenport, and when you get to DeWitt, you know that pigtail curve that's there? What do they have around there? Well, they have guardrails. Why did they put those there? Because they don't want you going off the edge having any fun in those cornfields. No, they don't want you going off the edge because they know it'll bring destruction, it'll trash up your car, it'll bring harm to your body, so they put up a guardrail. You see those all around. When you're driving down the road, what you'll see is not only guardrails, but I don't know what they really call them, but the rumble strips in the road. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? If you know what they are, that means you went off the road a little bit, right? Yeah. And that's why they put them there. They're on each side of the road, and they're usually in the middle, at least on the highways and such. They're designed in such a way because they want you to get from point A to point B safely. And this is the way that you're supposed to go. This is the direction you're supposed to go. And if you veer off, all of a sudden, brrr, it starts, and it shakes the car and wakes you up. It's designed to get you back on course so you can make a course correction. There are going to be times in life where you will experience some spiritual rumble strips. It started way back in the Old Testament, went all the way through the New, and continues on with Jesus giving us his Holy Spirit. You can go to the Old Testament and find the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, right? We can go through those. Those are rumble strips. Don't commit murder. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Love your neighbor. You know, and it goes through and tells you. You can go into the New Testament, and you can find him repeat those commands. But then he says the greatest commandments of all is to love the Lord your God, and then to love others. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets real for you and me. Because we know about the commandments and we know about the greatest commandment. But the greatest thing that God does in the rumble strips is when you're doing something, and just think about this for a moment. You don't have to agree or raise your hand. But there's probably been times in your life where you've heard the Holy Spirit. You thought something, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe that's not a good thing to do. I'll guarantee you that was probably the Holy Spirit. I was having a conversation with my son a couple weeks ago. He hasn't been out there that long. He hasn't moved that long, but it feels long. And he called me one day, and we were talking, and I don't even know what we were talking about, but he was making a decision about something. He said, I was going to do this, but then I just kind of felt like maybe I shouldn't do that. And I said, that was probably the Holy Spirit. And he said, what? And I said, well, Seth, you know about the Holy Spirit. You grew up in church, and you know, you've experienced this. But I said, this is where it gets real. You're not at home for mom and dad to tell you what to do now. Now you have to figure out what you're going to do. And as much as your mother and your father love you, Father God loves you more. And so he's going to speak to you. And you probably thought not to do that because that was the Holy Spirit. And he was like, really? I said, Seth, I guarantee you that was the Holy Spirit. Because I know that when... You probably had these moments too, okay? Think about it. When's the last time you thought, do I go this way or do I go that way? And you said, this way looks way more fun. But there was a check in your heart and you're just like, I just don't feel a peace about it. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the rumble strips going up. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't make that choice. And sometimes the choice that you want to make looks good, feels good. Everyone else is choosing it. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit's telling me not to do it. That's not fair. That's how we act sometimes. But what we don't know is that, remember, number one, God's much bigger. He sees the bigger picture. And he knows that if I choose this direction, it could be destruction for me. Because God knows and understands. So he'll set up these guardrails. He'll set up these rumble strips, if you will. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 3. I love this verse. It kind of tells us about an understanding of this. It says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. rumble strips, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. There was rumble strips in the Old Testament that were designed to be tutors, so to speak, to bring us to Christ, and God has given us the Holy Spirit as well so that we can experience and understand that the worst thing that you could do driving down the road when you go to the side of the road and hear those rumble strips is to just kind of sit there and go, isn't that kind of fun? You know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't keep veering over to the right. You would make a correction. And that's why God gives us checks in our hearts. In that verse, it's talking here about the law directed, the law protected, and the law perfected those children of Israel at that point in time. And now they're at a time in their life where they're having to make some choices based upon what they've learned. You know, Seth texted his mom a couple days ago, which makes my point, because when you're raising kids, you raise them and you try to get them to learn, you know, pick up your room and do the dishes and do your chores, and why do I have to do all this stuff? And I remember as a kid, my argument was always, why do I have to make my bed? I'm just going to mess it up again tonight. You know, that made sense to me, but that's me, you know? And we're raising our kids, and we're like, put the dishes away. They had their chores. Seth was garbage. Dre was dishes. Now I have to take the garbage out. It's a sad day. The first week Seth was gone, I grabbed the garbage, and I was just like moping out to the garbage can. You know, take a selfie. I miss you, buddy. You know, one of those. Of course, he's in Des Moines doing a dance. I don't have to do the garbage, you know. But that's not really true. Because we raised him to learn some of these good things, and then he didn't want to do them. And then he texted his mom the other day, and it was hilarious because I'm sure he was doing the happy dance when he got to Des Moines. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. 2 weeks later, he texted his mom and said, Mom, I'm so sorry for all the times that I never picked up after myself. I'm sorry for the hard time I gave you. Now I understand. We're going to have a little more discussion about that text probably. There's a story behind there somewhere, I'm sure. But what's my point? My point is that sometimes God's telling you to clean your room, take out the garbage, do the dishes, whatever. And we're saying, I don't know why I have to do all this. But he's teaching you something because there's something coming down the pike that when you're lacking direction, you've got to remember how big God is, how great his grace is, and then listen for the rumble strips. He's teaching you lessons along the way so that when you do get out there on your own, when you hear those rumble strips, you'll make a correction. You know who doesn't make corrections? Those who don't have ears to hear. They don't have hearts that care. And then they get mad and shake their fist at God as if God did something to them when they didn't do anything at all. Or he didn't do anything at all. You see, we'll tell them to do things as when we're raising them because we want to teach them. God is doing the same thing with us. He wants to teach us. And so he will put things there. And here's the struggle. When our kids are younger, isn't it true, parents? Part of you loves them being younger because you get to control, right, what they do, for the most part. And you know what I mean by that. You get to kind of, here's three words that sound horrible but aren't. You get to kind of manipulate. You get to maneuver. You get to dictate what they will do and what they won't do. Now, when I say those three words, a lot of times people are like, ooh, dictate, manipulate, maneuver. I don't like that. But those aren't necessarily bad things. Here's what it means to dictate. It means to give direction. How many of you would love the Lord to give you direction in your life? If you say yes to that, then you're saying, I'm asking him to dictate, tell me, reveal to me what it is I need to know. When you ask about manipulation, in this world, manipulation is like a bad word, you know. If somebody called you manipulative, that would be taken in a negative way. But how many of you are very good at manipulating your calendars or your schedules or your appointments throughout the day? How many of you have kids in school that this is the plan, but then one of them throws up at school and is sick, and you got to go pick them up? You have to manipulate your whole schedule that day, right? See, to manipulate just means this, to take what you have and to make the best of it. That's what it means. And when you maneuver, that means to be fluid, to be flexible. And that's all that the Lord is asking of us. But many times we just want to control everything. What happens when it's out of our control? When he's giving us a signal that says, please stand by, wait. I'll let you know eventually what to do. If you're here today and you feel like you're waiting on the Lord for something, what's the next season? What's the next step? Know this, that you guys got to remember how big he is. Listen to those guardrails because God is going to reveal something incredibly new to you, but you've got to trust him. Drea. I remember Drea. Both our kids obviously went to school, but Drea was our first. And I still remember the first day we dropped her off to school. Parents, do you guys remember that? First day you dropped them off? It was kind of bittersweet, wasn't it? It's bitter because now somebody else is going to teach them. Somebody else is going to have a say in their life. But it was kind of sweet because now you can get some stuff done at home, right? And then you start thinking of things like, well, what if they run into difficulties at school? What if there's a bully at school? What if they fall down and get hurt? What if? And we start kind of worrying and stressing about things. You see, the kids are learning what it means to acclimate to the life that's going on around them. What the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to acclimate to what it is that He's creating us to be. But when we lack direction, it's not always because God doesn't have a direction. It's also about timing. You got to do it in God's timing. You see, in life, you can feel like you're lost. That trip I told you about at the Kalahari, we were coming back. We were lost. There was a thick fog and we couldn't see. And the only thing that kept me on the road was as I could see the lines that were on the road. And because I could see those markers on the road, I could stay on the road. In life, God will lay down rumble strips, if you will. He'll lay down His word. He'll give you His Holy Spirit. And He says, just focus not on the fog. Yes, you've got to look ahead, but focus on those boundaries. And God will keep you on the road. The word of God says this, Psalms chapter 91, verse 11. Let's read that one together, nice and loud. It's up on the screen. You ready? Go. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Here's another one, Psalms chapter 121, verse 8. Let's read that one. Ready? Go. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. His word says that He will give His angels charge over you, to watch over you, to let you know when you've crossed the line. And that means we have to develop an ear to hear. Number three, write this down, so that we can learn to listen to our GPS. How many of you have GPSs? I mean, if you've got a smartphone, you've got a GPS, right? You know, we kind of got it made that way. There was a time when I was younger, I can remember so many phone numbers. I don't know what it is. It's a weird thing. I can't remember what my wife told me 2 hours ago, but I can remember some of my high school friends' phone numbers. And I could just rattle off phone numbers and remember them so well. Then cell phones were introduced, and I didn't need to remember numbers anymore. And so I let the phone do the work for me. GPS. If you've got a phone, there's so many apps out there. You've got Waze, you've got Google, you've got TomTom, you've got all these other navigational systems that are out there, Garmin's out there, and you just punch in, this is where I want to go, and it tells you what to do. And we put our complete faith in a piece of equipment that will get us from point A to point B. And here's the interesting part. We can have our GPS tell us to get from point A to point B, and it can lead us to the wrong spot, and we'll be forgiving to the GPS, but yet we don't trust the Holy Spirit to lead us from point A to point B. Why is that? Why is it we have more faith in a piece of equipment than in a Savior who knows the big picture? Well, happened in first service too. I don't know if you recognize how quiet it kind of gets. I didn't think of it that way. Because the reality is not, will God speak? The reality is will we listen? Will we seek Him? And not just when we're in trouble, but will we seek Him day after day? Well, I don't have time for all that. Well, you better make time. Well, are you threatening me? No. I'm warning you, because if you don't understand what it means to have a walk with Christ, you end up in places where you start saying, I don't know what happened. I don't understand. Why am I here? And you lack direction. God says, I want to speak to you. But you and I, we've got the GPS always says this. I always hate this. But you'll get off track. You know, it's telling you to go this way. And you're like, I don't want to go that way. So you'll go a different way. And what does the GPS say to you in a nice, annoying voice? Recalculating. Now, it's not telling you what to do. It's just saying, okay, you're not going to go that way. Recalculate. Do you know that there's times in life that when you're going through and you're lacking direction, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're wherever you're at, if you say, God, I need you, I need your direction, by His Holy Spirit, He will come, find where you are at, He will recalculate everything and show you the path that you need to take, that you need to follow, so you can get where it is that you need to be. God will do that for you. But it doesn't happen until we cry out to Him. Psalms 81, verse 11 says, But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts, to walk on their own counsel. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Do you hear the cry of a father that just says, I so want to be a part of your life, but if you really don't want me, you know, you can almost put it this way. It's kind of scary to read it this way, but put your name in there. I'll do it. But Jim would not heed my voice, and Jim would have none of me. So I gave him over to his own stubborn heart to walk in his own counsel. Oh, that Jim would listen to me, and that Jim would walk in my ways. Do you see how much God wants to be a part of your life? Can you sense just the thickness of the Holy Spirit at this moment where he says, that's how much I love you. Don't get caught up in so much of what the world has to offer that you miss out on God. Many people's fear is as if I get so into God or I get so, I'm going to miss out on the fun of the world. I'd like to pitch you another idea. You won't really understand what it means to be full of joy and experience fun until you know what it means to draw close to God. Because when he gives you his joy, he gives it to you in fullness. But we have to listen to him. That's why in the Bible, the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in a few months, okay? Like in the fall or the winter. We're going to take some time and talk about who is the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? What's this whole speaking in tongues thing? Why do we even need to talk about it? Or is it really important and valuable in today's world? Absolutely is the answer, by the way. But you have to understand what it is, who he is. But in Acts, they said that being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important that when they were seeking out counsel, it says this, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom may appoint over the business. See, that was a requirement then. They said, if you're going to call somebody elders, if you're going to get some disciples, then they must be full of the Holy Spirit. See, being full is crucial, but being full of the right thing is even more crucial. You must be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Does that mean you're perfect? Absolutely not, but you're in a perfecting process. God wants to bring that into our lives, so here's the question this morning. I don't mean this in a funny way, but what are you full of? What are you full of? Are you full of self? Are you full of hot air? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you filled up on his word? Are you just filled up on what the world has to offer? You know, only you can answer that for you. But when you get the answer, it lets you know where you're at so you can know how to recalculate back to the presence of God. And when that happens, then you do this. Number four, write this down. Wait for his light to shine. You got to remember how big God is, how gracious he is. Watch out for the side rails. Listen to your GPS. Obviously, the word of God. Develop an ear to hear the Holy Spirit, and then wait for his light to shine. The reason I put that last is because you can do all the things that God tells you to do, and sometimes you still have to wait. You have to wait. Why do I have to wait? Wait for God's timing, but I'm going to tell you this. When you place God priority number one, and you do your best to stay on track, and you ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom from above, you know, you have an ear to hear him, you're gonna see the light shine very quick. We're coming back from Kalahari, and I said I didn't know where I was. All of a sudden, the sun came out. You ever been driving in the fog? All of a sudden, the sun comes out. Bam, all of a sudden, the fog disappears, right? And that's exactly the way God works. You may feel like you're lost in a fog right now, but when you focus in and zero in on God, and when his light shines, everything becomes clear. Now, let me end with this. I don't know if I told you yet, but I know Lisa referenced it. We went to Florida last week. So I know some of you, we're very sensitive about the whole COVID thing, but I also am not going to walk in fear, okay? And we were not in any hot spots. We did a little Airbnb with our little slice of beach where nobody else was. So if you don't want to come hug on us, we're not going to be offended. We understand it. We're not going to jump pews and chase you down. But we enjoyed ourselves and had our time in Florida. And I got to meet some people. We were there with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And I met some of his friends. And they are very southern, and I am very northern. I was the Yankee, okay? and very nice people. I loved getting to meet them, especially this one guy. His name's Jonathan. And Jonathan grew up there, and he has his own business running an airboat, and I got to meet him. And I loved just talking to him, hearing his stories and how he grew up and just, you know, learning from different people. And he shared a story. He took us out on an airboat, you know, like out in the swamps. Anyone ever been on an airboat out in the swamps? Okay. Yeah, it's a fun ride. It's amazing. But you got to go with somebody who knows what they're doing. Because he's shown us alligators. This dude literally, and he parks it, pulls out a Cheetos bag and starts to wrinkle it. And the gators start coming. I'm like, you've trained the gators to eat Cheetos? He goes, yeah, they like them. And so he'd bend down and feed them Cheetos, like they're little puppies. Here, come here. You know, and we're like, no. You know, we stayed in our seat. But he knows the waters. He knows what he's doing. He's very skilled in it. He's very comfortable with it. And there's so many things out there. Water moccasins, spiders the size of your head. Just, I'm not joking. Spiders the size of your head. But he grew up in these swamps, and I couldn't help but think he was telling story after story. And I thought, I got lost out there. And so I asked him, I said, how did you learn the back roads? How did you learn that? And he says, well, you got to remember, I grew up in this area. I said, did you ever get lost? And he said, yeah, three times. Obviously, you found yourself, you know, you found your way out. But I said, what is that like being lost in a swamp where you don't know where? Because we're talking, he was walking in the swamp with either a fishing pole or a shotgun or both. I don't know. And he said, well, one time I got lost. He said, I couldn't figure out where I was at, so I just had to fire my gun in the air and wait for my daddy to honk the horn in the truck. And when he honked the horn, I would just make my way towards the horn. And I thought, very smart. But this Yankee mind was still tripping out on, you were in the swamp? What were you doing walking in the swamp? But you see, that's it. He's comfortable there. That's his environment. He knows what he's doing. He said, but the other two times I got lost, and when he told me the story, I said, oh, Jonathan, that'll preach, you know. Because he said, I got lost. I was with some buddies, and they said, we need to go this way. And he said, man, I grew up in this area. My dad grew up in this area. My granddaddy grew up in this area. I know these waters, and I'm lost, and I feel like it's supposed to be this way. And his friend said, no, let's go this way. And he said, you all go that way if you want to. I'm going this way. And he said, usually I can navigate by looking up in the sky. I'll look at the stars. I'll look for some buildings. I'll look for some structural fixtures to navigate. But he said, it was overcast. And I couldn't tell where I was. And he said, and I started to get a little nervous. And when somebody who grows up in the swamp gets nervous, there's something going on. He said, I had to shoo away a couple water moccasins. And I said, like real ones? And he's like, that's all we have down here. I said, you were in the water with the gators? Yep. In the dark? Yep. And you didn't know where you were? Yeah. I said, what'd you do? And he said, well, I did something my granddaddy taught me. And I said, what was it? And he said, I stood where I was at and I closed my eyes. He said, I did this for like, you know, a few minutes, 5 minutes, and I just acclimated to the area around me. I let my eyes adjust to the darkness. He said, then my granddaddy taught me, he said, now open up your eyes and look at the clouds. And he says, you're going to notice some lights bouncing off the clouds. He said, when you look over, he says, you'll see one area that's going to be like more white. He said, that's Tallahassee. He said, but then you're going to see over here more of a yellow color. He said, that's, I think it was Apalachicola is what it was. And he said, that's home. So when you're lost and you can't seem to find your way, take some time and close your eyes. Just recalibrate. And then look up. And when you see the right lights that are home, head that way. He said, I started walking that way. He said, I still had to deal with the things that were in front of me. But he said, I made it home. You see, when the light of Jesus Christ shows up, it will lead you and it will guide you even in the darkest of your moments. You may feel like you're in a swamp and you got a couple water moccasins that are chasing you down. You may feel like you got spiders the size of your head and you feel like you're running and screaming, but if you just stop and if you'd remember how big God is compared to what it is you're going through, if you'd watch out for those things around you, and you use wisdom in the midst of them and look for his light to shine, it will make all the difference in the world. Let me read to you Matthew 5 and I'm done. It says this. It's a typo. There's a little bit of a typo there. Forgive me for that. I apologize. But it's out of the Message translation. It says, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. You see, you're going to see the light of Jesus Christ show up in your life. You may feel darkened right now, but when that shows up, God says, I'm not going to hide you under a basket. He says, I'm going to put you on a hilltop. And people, when they see you, oh man, they're going to see me. And it's going to change their lives. I had a friend in high school. This was supposed to be a compliment. It didn't sound like one at first, but it was a compliment. He came to me. I'd been to Bible college. I came back, was getting my life all right with the Lord. And he called me out of the blue. I hadn't heard him from since high school. And I said, hey, what's happening? Hey, can we get together and meet? He said. I said, yeah. And he talked to me, and we did some guy stuff. You know, I knew there was something else going on. And eventually he goes, listen, he goes, I'm really struggling right now. My life's not right. And he goes, and I know what you were like in high school. He said, I figured if you can get it figured out, I can get it figured out. And I said, thank you. But I heard his heart. And I said, all it takes is Jesus. That's it. But you got to mean it. Not this, save me, Jesus, until the next time. I mean, like, really, really mean it. And he said, I think I really mean it. I said, well, then, can I pray for you? And we asked Jesus into your heart. And he said, yeah. I led my friend to the Lord at the YMCA here in Clinton, Iowa, when it was open. You see, that was a time when I didn't realize Christ's light shining through me. And it attracted the attention of somebody else. He'll do the same for you. Do you feel like you're lacking direction today and you're looking for some answers? God will give you the answers you need. Develop that ear. Here's what it says, just summarizing what we've talked about. You got to just remember how big God is against the backdrop of everything else going on. Watch out for the side rails and develop that ear to hear the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and wait for his light to shine in Jesus' name. We pray with me, Father, I thank you that no matter what we go through in life, you're bigger, you're greater, you're stronger, and there is nothing that can hold you back. So Jesus, I pray today that there will be nothing here today that will hold us back as a body of believers. For some of us, maybe it's a relationship with Christ. For others, it's seasons or decisions that you're facing. But let me just ask the simple question, are you here today? And you don't have Jesus in your heart. You've not asked him to come in, or maybe you did at one point, but you've walked away from it, and you just feel that tugging on your heart. And you know that the Lord's speaking to you. That's his Holy Spirit. That's him. And he's talking to you because he loves you so much. Are you here today? And you'd say, Pastor, I need to make that decision and recommit my life to Christ. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up and do anything, but I'm going to ask this. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and look at me that I might agree in prayer with you today? That you can receive Jesus into your heart as your Savior. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. Today, as you raise your hand, he knows how heavy sometimes it felt to raise that hand or to walk that walk or to continue to stand strong in the middle of everything going on. But he says, my grace is going to be sufficient for you and everything that you go through. His grace will be sufficient. He's asking you to do this now. As a daughter of Christ, lean on him. Lean on him and watch how he'll come through for you. Any other hearts here today? You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make that decision. I'll wait for just a moment. I don't want to miss you if that's you. Okay. Then, Father, I ask this, that by your Holy Spirit, for each and every one of us that are here today, as we go through our seasons, where you're telling us to just stand by. Lord God, we know you're telling us to stand by, not because you have nothing better to do, but because you're up to something good. You've got something great that you're preparing for us. So, Lord, we're going to wait upon you, and we're going to let our strength be renewed in the presence of an almighty God. And we're trusting you. And, Lord, when it's tough or difficult to wait, Lord, I'm asking that you would come and give us that grace that's sufficient in all things. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church.